produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
My name is Debbie Keller and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage. Happy New Year, everyone. This is Dr. V. You are tuned in to Love Your Making here on Josie's Inspirational Network. It is 2020 and we are still here, which means we have something amazing to do in the kingdom. I call it Insight 2020 year for me. And my scripture that I'm standing on all this year long comes from Acts, the 20th chapter, the 20th verse. So I want you to hurry up and get your Bibles so you can hear me explain how excited I am about standing on this scripture for this year. While you're getting your Bibles, I'm just going to go ahead and pray, okay? Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We praise you. We glorify you. We magnify your name. Truly, this is your day that you have made for us, and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you for making us, molding us, shaping us, establishing us, putting us forward, oh God, in your kingdom work, backing us in every way. God, what you do for us, we simply cannot do for ourselves. We do love our making because we know that your hands are on us. We're at the potter's wheel. We're not maybe enjoying every spin, but we know every spin is for our good. So thank you, Father, for all that you do for us. Anoint Dr. V in this broadcast to bring forth the word that would encourage the body of Christ, the kingdom of God, leaders, sage leaders all over the world. And we thank you in advance for doing so. Again, you tune in to Love Your Making. I am Dr. V. This is the year 2020 of our Lord, and we are so excited. Can I tell you excited? We are so excited to be here. Now, I told you, I'm standing on a particular scripture, which I dearly touched my heart when I discovered it. It comes from the book of Acts, Acts 20:20. Here we find Paul doing his thing. Commentary says, Paul begins his farewell to the elders of Ephesus by recounting his own work among them. He said this, and when they had come to him, he said to them, you know, from the first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials, which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews. How I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Want to go back to that middle part. He said, how, Paul talking, a leader, how I kept back nothing that was helpful, nothing that was useful, nothing that didn't build you up, nothing that didn't warn you, nothing that didn't instruct you, nothing that didn't correct you, nothing that didn't keep you built up. I held back nothing, but rather I proclaim, and this is all what the gospel does, I proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly. I didn't go in a secret place, but I taught you publicly from house to house, testifying to both the Jews and the Greeks. Why is that so important? As I begin to close out the year 2019, I begin to ask the Lord, Lord, you know, forgive me if I have gone too far with my own agenda, what I thought you wanted me to do, and not been on the one, not been targeted, not been precisely, not being in the middle of the will and the way of what you have called me to do. And I declare that I don't want to move into 2020 having my own way, doing my own thing. I don't want to miss you. I want to be on the mark. I want to be so in your perfect will for my ministry, for my personal life, for my business life, whatever you have set my heart to do, whatever you have ordained for me to experience, I want to be in the middle of that. So I asked him to fine-tune me personally and fine-tune me in the ministry, fine-tune me as a leader, fine-tune me as a counselor, fine-tune me as a mother or grandmother or friend. And in every area, I didn't want to leave anything out. Much like the same passion that Paul was saying here, I didn't leave you anything out. I gave you everything. I taught you everything that was helpful. And so I'm saying, God, fine-tune me because it's going to be helpful for me to be able to proclaim your gospel clearly. And that is, I can clearly say, stand flat-footed and say, I'm walking in the will and the way of the Lord. Jesus would often say, I come to do the will of him who sent me. My meat is to do his will. I only say, you heard me say that all last year, I'm still there. I only say what I hear the Father say. I only do what I see the Father do. That's my heart's desire in every area of my life. Because I'm not just a leader for church. I'm not just a leader in the community. I'm a leader in my home. I'm a leader in my own, you know, temple. Yeah, God, following after Christ, you know, and in the certain will of God. Amen. So as I encourage leaders, and I believe that God is continuing to have me to do so in 2020, I want to be in the heart of God in the same passion that Paul was here in the 20th chapter of the book of Acts. I want to really be found declaring, just as he declared, when I'm with you, when I'm declaring the gospel, when I'm proclaiming the gospel from house to house, I don't want to leave anything out that's helpful to you. I want to give you all of the God that I have and make sure that I'm not blocking more God to get to you, right? That's just how I feel about it. That's just the way I feel about it, Dr. V. So when I think about framing the ministry according to God's perfect will and his way, I want to again is in this place, reminding the elders at Ephesus that while I was with you, I held nothing back. So in order for me to do that, I have to make sure that I am open to God's direction. Scripture says, lean not on your own understanding, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and he will direct your path. And we find Paul on his journeys, God directing his path. When we read on down in this 20th chapter, he says, you know, listen, I know that it has been prophesied that what's ahead of me is going to be challenging. It's going to be life-threatening. But he said, none of these things move me. I want to encourage leaders today that when you're moving in the will and the way of the Lord, even if we're going to be prophesied as a leader, you're going to go through some things. You're going to be attacked. You're going to be ridiculed. Your life is going to be a bounty on your head. In order for you to do the will of God, you're going to have to walk through some treacherous places. You're going to have to deal with some, you're going to have some dire circumstances. But Paul, no matter what he was going to face, the Holy Spirit led him to know he was going to face some things. But he simply said, none of these things move me. In other words, I'm not going to pull back. I'm not going to go back. I'm not going to turn around. I'm not going to take a detour. I'm going to face whatever I have to face in order to do the will and the way of the Lord. Same thing that Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will, but thy will be done. If this cup could pass, yes. Why? Because he knew how painful the cup was going to be. We need leaders today that will embrace the cup that God has given them, just whatever is in it. You know, how bitter it might be, how painful it might be, how challenging it might be. Go ahead and drink. Because in the end, Paul knew where he was going to end up. Yeah, he knew, and you should know too. Listen, after we have suffered for a little while, then God has a place for us. We have to believe in the whole word of God and what God promised. He promised us that no man or woman who's left houses and land and the good life, the relaxed life, the easy life, whatever that life might have been, to do his will, that they not be rewarded when? In this lifetime, and in the lifetime to come. I'm just saying, at 2020, Dr. V has endeavored to get this insight about this decade that we're entering into. I wanted to enter into this decade with the mindset that, again, I come to do the will of him who sent me. My meat is to do his will. And in my ministry, whether it's in my home, in the community, or in the church, or in the kingdom, globally, worldwide, that I'm not going to keep anything back that's helpful. What does that mean for me? It means I'm going to have to dig in more and more and more in my word, in my prayer life, in my time developing myself as a leader. As a matter of fact, this coming weekend, I'm going to travel a couple hundred miles from where I live to be in 3 days of leadership training with some sage leaders from across the country, and listening to God with them in prayer and being instructed of how to be a better leader myself. Yes, yes, I teach leaders, but guess what? I study leadership. I submit myself to training and correction and guidance and mentoring. Yes, Dr. V, listen, I'm being led by the Holy Spirit, and I'm being open to those who he leads into my life to help me to be sharper, to be fine-tuned, to be a better leader. So that when I instruct, when I proclaim, when I encourage, when I counsel, when I encourage you and provoke you to be a good leader and do good works and love as a leader, I'm not doing it from a place of a novice. I'm doing it from someone who has submitted themselves. The Bible says to what? Study to show yourself approved. A workman, a woman that needed not be ashamed, but dividing the word of God. I'm not only studying his word, but I'm praying his word. I'm living his word every opportunity I can. I know that if I don't live squarely in this word, I'll live outside of his word as a leader. And who will stumble at the light of my leadership, at the visibility of my leadership, except those who are watching, those who are standing by, those who God has given me charge to encourage, to edify, to teach, to grow in ministry. So it's a great responsibility. And here we find Paul in Acts the 20th chapter, taking on that responsibility full-heartedly, and then telling you how he's handling it, how he's handling that business. Listen, I'm not going to hold anything back that's helpful for you. I'm going to proclaim it from house to house. I'm gonna share it with everybody that's in my sphere of influence, including the Jews and the Greeks. Question for you. Are you being selective about who you share the gospel with? Are you sharing the gospel with only the saved? Are you sharing the gospel with those who don't know him? Are you sharing the gospel with other religious faith? Are you sharing the gospel with those who don't know God to be God at all? Yeah, that's the go ye in Matthew. Go ye into the hedges and highways. Go ye into the world and teach, Jesus said, what I have taught you. So, yes, with an evangelistic thrust in 2020, my insight is to, listen, go to the Jews and the Greeks. Go to all of Jerusalem and Judea and the uttermost parts of the world. You know, I look forward to some great trips this year to Ireland and to Greece to minister, back again in London. I'm excited about that. I want to go to places where the gospel has not been heard, and I want to preach the gospel, and I want to hold nothing back. I want to continue to encourage and grow up leaders. You know, that's what I want to do, but I want to do it what? God's way. So I think it's a good time, leaders, as we end it successfully 2019, as we embrace 2020, that we get a proclamation, a declaration, a resolve, or wherewithal, a mindset, whatever you want to call it, to where we're going to be so determined to not keep anything back that's helpful about the power of the Word of God, the gospel to transform lives for the kingdom of God, for the glory of God. We want to do it God's way, which is with love. Okay, back to that love thing, right? We love our making by loving our God. We love each other by loving our God. We encourage each other by loving our God. Why? Everything goes back to, if you don't have a love affair with God going on, if you don't have a love affair with God truly in every sense of the way, you know, those that we love, we want to please. So I want to be a God pleaser. Not just a God chaser, but a God pleaser. I want to be found pleasing in his word. I want to be found obeying his word. I want to be found shifting my own perception so that I can get his perception. Jesus was very clear about that when he said, not my will, but thy will be done. He might as well said, listen, not my insight, but his insight. Not my opinion, but God's opinion, God's truth. Not my way, but God's way. You know, in other words, I don't own it, but I'm steward of it in my life, if that makes sense. I'm excited. I'm so excited about this year, standing on that scripture, dwelling in that place. There's some other scriptures I'm going to introduce to you at our next broadcast that builds on this Acts 20:20 that helps me with the resolve that I'm not going to hold anything back that's helpful. So that the messages that you heard last year, 2019, there were great messages. I tried to encourage you in leadership every way I could. I employed Zig Ziglar. I employed John Maxwell's work, and of course the Bible. I mean, this year you're going to hear me in a more intensified way begin to challenge us as leaders to say, what are you holding back? What, you know, we get to a place, because I'm just going to say it, because we're trying to build, that we overlook things. We don't correct. We don't instruct. We don't rebuke. We don't, you know what I'm saying? We just let people be. And so if you let people be and stay in their own mindsets, that's holding things back, because Jesus never encountered a group of people that he didn't change their mindset toward the will and the way of the Lord. When they left that 3-day revival with Jesus, after he had fed the 5,000 with the fish and the loaves and had the fragments left over, those people had left, they left that place was a mindset change toward the heart of God. I believe that. Scripture just is so full of the intention of what that three-day time was. I don't believe Jesus held anything back. And when he emptied himself out of everything that was helpful for those people, then they began to feel hunger. Then after he felt them spiritually, he fed them physically. But he changed the mindset of the people. I believe that message was all about that. And I want for 2020, my message is to be all about emptying out and not holding anything back. That's all about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, all about who God is in our lives and who he wants to be, his deep and abiding love, his truth that sets us free. I'm committed to that. I'm not committed to building buildings. Building buildings is fine. Brick and mortar is fine. But I'm committed to building a people. I'm committed to building leaders. I'm committed to that. And I believe that God can trust my heart in that place. And so my question for you as a leader today, can God trust your heart, with Paul, as he did with Jesus? Can God trust your heart? Or the heart of his people with you? Let me reframe that. Let me make it very clear. I'm asking you this question as a leader. Can God trust your heart with his people? Because I believe that that's what he did with Paul. Paul wrote so many letters in prison. When he penned those letters, you know, God was trusting his heart to communicate to his people what was needful, what was helpful for them. And he testified to them. And he moved them to a place of repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. At the end of the day, God doesn't want you to boast about how big your cathedral is, how many stained glass windows you have, how big your parking lot was, you know, how much the offering was. He wants to know, did you preach a gospel that caused people to repent toward him and to have faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ? That's right there in Acts, the 20th chapter, the 18th to the 22nd verse. And let's review that again the next time we're together. We can do that, right? Yeah, we can do that. Listen, I missed you over the holidays, but I'm glad to be back with you. In 2 weeks, I'll be back with you again on Thursdays around the 5:00 Central Standard Time, however they have us on. But I'm so excited about you hearing the voice of God through me as we embrace love and our making in the year of our Lord, the decade of our Lord, 2020. You're here. That means you still have purpose. And I'm so glad you're here. Continue to pray for me. I will pray for you. I want to leave you with this prayer that might encourage you at the beginning of the year 2020. Get a resolve. This is the first 10 days of the year. Get a resolve that you're going to gravitate toward, be satisfied with, long for the will of the Lord to be done in your life as Jesus Christ asked us to do or showed us to do in his resolve toward God. He says, listen, I only want to say what I hear the Father say. I only want to do what I see the Father do. Father God, we just thank you for the opportunity to live and move and have our being with you. We thank you for your making of us. We are not making ourselves, but you are making us. And we thank you for the yielding of our minds, our souls, and our spirit toward your making, Father God. It is not a light thing that you would give us a responsibility to lead your people. We are the sage leaders that you're calling for in these end times. And in these end times, we want to be found being trustworthy with you, Father God, and being responsible to what you call us to do. As again, Paul, our mentor today, says, listen, I'm not going to hold anything back. Help us to not hold anything back that's helpful, even in our own personal development, Father God, as leaders, and especially to those that you've given us charge over. It's not a light thing, oh God, that you would use us. It's not a light thing that you would call us into this glorious kingdom end time work. And we don't take it lightly, Father. We ask you to, again, do in us what we cannot do for ourselves. That good work that you started in us, that you're faithful to complete it, oh God. And we want you to complete it, oh God. We want to be fine-tuned in your will and your way. We want to be found in the middle of your love, in the middle of your wisdom, in the middle of your sharing the good news for the people of God so that they might grow. Not only the Jew, but the Greek, and to all the people that you created all over the world. Father God, you said that Jesus would not come until all the gospel has been preached throughout all the world. And so make us a part of that assignment, Father God, in a most effective way, in a most meaningful way. And Father, certainly make sure, oh God, that we're not left out of the process. Father, you're an amazing, awesome, wonderful, glorious, faithful God, and we love you dearly. Thank you for loving us, and thank you for giving us an opportunity to love others through you, Father God. It is not a small thing that you would choose us. You first chose us, and Father God, help us to choose you every day, especially your will and especially in your way. We love you so much, Father. All over the world, let us be the conduit that your love will flow through, and we'll be grateful and thankful for it all. And it's in your Son, Jesus, the Christ name, we praise you and we pray. Amen and amen. This has been Dr. V. This has been Love You're Making. Stay tuned to our future broadcasts, and also stay tuned.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. Or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Hello, hello. This is Vanita DeReeve with Create Your Own You. And as I always say, be you and not be you and just you. And don't let other people expect you to be someone else. You have to always be true to yourself at all times. Remember, people are always going to suggest something that they think is best for your life. But as a person and as an individual, you know yourself, so you know what's best for you and your family. So today, I have my sister on the line, Mrs. Sadil Tanae Lloyd. Hey!
Hello, hello, hello. How are you?
I'm doing extremely well, extremely well. So as everybody knows, this month is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So I had the opportunity to talk with my sister who was diagnosed with breast cancer about a year and a half ago, a little over a year and a half, right?
Yeah, actually, it was around February of last year, of 2018.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. Okay, so, and as everybody recall, my last segment, I did a topic of domestic violence with Regina Keenan. And with speaking on domestic violence, I'm going to just touch back on that briefly because I want people to understand how serious domestic violence is. And if you're in that situation and you feel like you don't have no one to go to, there is always somebody to reach out to, whether that's a church, whether it's a shelter, whether it's an aunt or uncle. Because a lot of, I know it's like a secretive thing and you don't want your family members to know that you are being hit on or abused at home, whether that's male or female, because it happens more often with females, but the men are increasing being verbally abused and beaten by women too. So the message from that last series that we had, we just wanted to, you know, make sure people are aware that they can get help and that there is an opportunity to continue your life after getting out your domestic violence situation. Every day you're above ground and breathing, you have an opportunity to live your best life. So we're going to get into this week's, we are going to get into the breast cancer awareness. Everybody knows, especially in the U.S., I know this is worldwide, but I'm pretty sure Breast Cancer Awareness Month is in October. And also in October, like I said, we have Domestic Violence Month, we have Bully Awareness, we have Mental Health Month, Awareness Month. So there's a lot of awareness going on in October. And we want to make sure people understand and where to reach out to get the help that they may need for any of those situations. If you don't know where to seek help from, just, you know, get online and just Google something in your area and see what is in your area to get assistance to help you with your situation that you are going through. So, Miss Deal, how you doing? How's everything?
I'm doing really, really well today. I hope you are.
I am doing good. I am doing good here. So like you were saying before, you were diagnosed back in February of 18. And as I was doing my research, you know, I did some research just before I started, you know, when I reached out to you. I said, let me do a little bit of research on breast cancer because it's not something that directly affects me, but my family members, you know. So I said, let me do some research. So what I have came across in which you are going, you know, you've been through what I'm about to say. The Mayo Clinic, I was reading a report from the Mayo Clinic, and the overview for breast cancer is a form of, you know, a form of breast cancer. It says after skin cancer, breast cancer is the most common cancer diagnosed in women in the United States.
Absolutely.
You know, because I know before the breast cancer, you had the skin cancer.
Absolutely.
So when were you diagnosed with that? Yeah. When were you
diagnosed with my first melanoma? Was stage zero or in situ, as they call it. I was diagnosed with that around March of 2017. So these came within a year of each other. I had, and initially they thought that one led to the other, and that wasn't the case. This melanoma was in 2017. Yeah, around March, I think.
Okay. Because I just thought that when I was reading it, I was like, she had skin cancer previous to the breast cancer. I was like, okay, is this something related? Because I've never actually, you know, even thought in terms of that, you know, that it can follow after skin cancer.
Yeah,
because I know another
checked for the things with the melanoma too. I still get checked for both.
Okay.
Right now, so.
So okay, let's speak about the skin cancer real briefly. So with the skin cancer, what exactly? How did you find out that it was skin cancer? How did you, you know, what was the process for that?
I went to my doctor for a physical, and she noticed that I had some darkened moles, and to me they looked normal because I've always had them. But she said they're darker than they needed to be and that I needed to go to the dermatologist. So I got a referral, and I began my journey with my now dermatologist who I see on a regular basis. When I went to her, she would check. They do full body checks, and they look even in your hair and in your feet to see if there are any darkened moles. And she found some, and one of them was abnormal, but the other actually was cancerous. And like I said, it was stage zero, so they had to operate. But the process is, you know, you get your referral, always get checked. We, a lot of times as African Americans, don't think that we would be affected by melanoma and different skin cancers, that we think that we are totally out of that. And we're not. We're not, especially if we have heritage of various races and cultures, everything in our background, that's, you know, it's inherent. So that was
right. Then they say, you know, they say actually, I was also reading that white women and black women are diagnosed pretty much at the same rate, but black women are dying more often than white women. And like you said, I think that's more so a lot of times I think when we find out, we go into denial and we go into denial and thinking that we can possibly, you know, leave it up to God and, you know, say, you know, cure me, which, you know, prayer and everything is good. But on the other hand, we sit and we wait. And then once it gets too late, we go, or we just don't have the medical treatment or the medical insurance to even cover our costs. And I know that was one of the things that you were dealing with when you were going through your breast cancer was the medical cost end of it.
A lot goes into it, you're right.
And I was saying, and I, you know, I don't think people understand all the what everything goes into, especially the money piece. The a lot of people, you know, I think on especially African Americans, like if you don't have that $750 co-payment, what do you do? How do you get it? Do you just not get services, or you know, that's just one of like some people just don't have a bank account. Okay, my copay is $1,500.
Right.
They don't have that, you know, and I think that's some of the reasons why our rate is higher.
Absolutely, but one thing I want to say about that, and kind of shifting a little bit with the at least with the breast cancer piece, I didn't realize how many resources were out there either, and that was one of the things that I didn't know that when you're going through treatment that they may be able to give you gas money, they may be able to give you assistance in your home while you're recovering, someone to come in and help you clean. They may be able to do there's a lot of resources, some more financial, some more in just the basic needs of when you're going through treatment. But all of them, you know, people need to research. Don't just assume that there's nothing out there for them.
Right. So how did you find out, you know, particularly about these resources? Did someone tell you about it? Did your doctor inform you? How did you go about finding those resources?
When I found my resources, after I was diagnosed initially, well, kind of going back, in January of last year, I noticed a lump under my arm, and I went for my physical, and she went through the process, and I don't know how much you want me to go into that, but, you know, she sent me.
We'll get into it.
Yeah, but it ended up pushing me to all the doctors. So I started out with the doctors, and we have a cancer facility. We actually have two cancer facilities where I live here in North Carolina. So that's where they were able to tell me. They sit you down and they give you the rundown of the resource and they give you pamphlets and different books to read over and they encourage you to go on different websites. So they really, you know, almost overwhelm you with resources. And I know everybody is, you know, their city is not like that. But, you know, there are certain areas that we don't even realize the resources that are there. If they ask a hospital, ask their physician, ask their children's physician, if they don't have a doctor of their own, there sometimes are resources that are untapped in their areas.
Okay, that's good to know. That's good to know because I know a lot of people, you know, they may not, you know, question or talk to counselors or anything like that to get that information because we just sit back and just say, okay, the doctor told me this, but they don't ask no question. That's for any type of ailment that you may have. It could be breast cancer. It could be heart disease. It can be liver. It could be anything. And people just take it upon themselves to just say, okay, the doctor said this and not do their own type of research on how to get some funding for them or how to get transportation, like you said, or how to get, you know, gas for your own car. And that's a really good thing to know that there are resources out there and each person should look in their state to see what they offer and get that information from their doctor or whoever is doing their primary care for whatever ailment that they may have. So you know, I was looking at, like I said, I was researching some more statistics because I needed to, you know, know a little bit more myself. I mean, you know, every month you do your breast exam, you know.
Right.
And if you're not doing your own breast exam, ladies and men, please do so. That's very important to early detection, as like you said. I think you said you were in a shower?
And actually, I noticed I wasn't in a shower, but I noticed it under my arm. And that was really where it all started.
Yeah, so we need to pay attention to our bodies. I mean, you should know your body
know your
in and
body.
Out. Scars, bruises, everything. So anything that different, especially as we get older, we definitely need to pay more attention. But, you know, a lot of people, they also, you know, assume just breast cancer is just breast cancer. There are several different types of breast cancer.
Yeah.
Which type did you say you had?
Well, see, my journey's a little strange.
Okay.
Because I was not originally diagnosed with breast cancer. I was originally diagnosed with squamous cell carcinoma, because that was mine is one where they've never found any nodes or anything. They found things in my lymph nodes, but they never found anything in my breast. That resulted in a lot of different testing. My knowledge of what I have comes through molecular testing and genetic testing, not because they found anything. So actually what I was diagnosed with was metaplastic breast adenocarcinoma.
Okay.
That was through the molecular testing. But like I
now,
said,
is there a stage? What stage is that considered?
I'm actually in stage 3.
Okay.
And that's because it had moved to my lymph nodes. That's what makes it stage 3. When it moves, when it shifts, it becomes stage 3.
Now, did genetic testing. Did you find out through that testing that it was hereditary?
Well, no. Okay, yeah. Well, actually, yes, with the genetic testing. But I found out it wasn't from my mother, so we only had to assume that. Because, again, my journey's a little strange. So
a little different, right?
Let me just do a little brief thing. So when I found out that I had the, because it's going to be hard otherwise. When I found out that I had there was something strange in my lymph nodes, and I was sent, and of course they go through the whole thing of the ultrasound, biopsy, and then they give you that initial diagnosis. The thing about this type with this cancer, even though it may change throughout the process, if you're initially diagnosed with squamous cell, that's what they continue to say. And so my process, they had to do MRIs, they had to do PET scans, they had to do several different types of testing to figure out what was going on, because they never found anything. There was no lumps. There was no, in my breast, there was nothing showing. And so I had to have molecular testing. I had to have genetic testing. The molecular testing is what showed the metaplastic breast adenocarcinoma. But then going from there, I learned that I was HER2 positive, and that is indicative to the breast. So then went from there and did the genetic testing, which showed the BRCA2 gene. And that's what showed even more that I was predisposed to breast and ovarian cancer.
Okay.
So that's where we got a little bit more into that as far as the genetic and finding out. Because my father was adopted, we had no history. And that's one of our other big issues that we didn't, because there was nothing in my mother's family. No one had ever had cancer. So it didn't make sense to any of my family members that I had it. I'm the first.
Right, and you know, I've known you, you know, we've known each other, you know,
all
in all, right, you know, we've known each other forever, so it's like, where did this come from, because it's never been spoken upon in the family, so it's like exactly, you know, it goes back to also, you know, because my grandmother died, I want to say, colon cancer. Yeah, I want to say it was colon cancer. And it was real strange because we were thinking, she died at 56, I believe it was. And, you know, we were thinking the same, like, okay, how did this happen? Like, nobody had no clue. It didn't come from nowhere. And, you know, she didn't drink. She didn't smoke. She wasn't somebody that partied or do anything. She was a housewife that raised her kids. And I think it was just devastating because we were like, that was the first time of me ever hearing of cancer when I was like 11 or 13, somewhere around there. And I was like, what is that, huh? What? You know, so it was like, how did that happen? How did it not? And that experience, because she ended up, which I never really told anybody this story, but when she ended up going through her cancer and everything like that, she came to stay with us for a brief moment, and she pretty much stayed with us. My mom took her out the hospital for her to stay with us, and it's ironic because, like, I was the one to find her on my bedroom floor. She was trying to get to me, and I heard something fall. So when I heard, you know, I heard a big thump, I'm like, oh God, that's, you know, I think I was 13. I believe I was 13. And I was never like, what am I supposed to do with this situation? My mom was gone. It was the first time ever since my grandmother was sick that my mom left her side. The first time.
Wow.
And this was, the first time. All this time she was at the hospital. She was at home. If she wasn't working, she was, you know, at our house, you know, at home taking care of her mother. So, you know, the first time she left, so I was like, okay. She's like, you know, my grandmother was still alert and everything, and she's like, okay, call the paramedics. And she told me right then and there, she's like, Dee Dee, I'm not coming back. I'm just letting you know that. So as a 13-year-old, you're looking like, oh, wow. What do you mean you're not coming back? I'll see you tomorrow. Or I'll see you in a couple of days or whatever, right? So you'll be back sleeping in your room. So that's probably a lot of people say I'm very standoffish or I'm very hardcore, but that's from that, because that lady right there was my heart. So I kind of don't let people get close to me for that simple reason. So most people don't know that about me. So then, you know, my mom, you know, she was at the hospital for the past couple of days, and then my mom went out 4th of July. You know, her mother told her, you know what, go out, enjoy yourself. It's a holiday. And my mom was only gone for a couple hours from the hospital. Again, I get the call that she passed away.
Wow.
Right. I get the call. I'm at home. So then, you know, I'm like, okay, got to, you know, call my mother and tell her, which was a whole nother situation. So that colon cancer, it just didn't resonate in our family. We still right now don't know. It's not genetic or anything like that. So we definitely have to be aware of our family backgrounds to see if we are, you know, have any of those, you know, have that in our family. So
but you have to also consider too, with even with your grandmother, it's not just it's her mother and her father's side. That was
right.
About
and if
both
you don't
sides, you don't know.
And I don't know. That's the thing about I don't know. You know, it's one of those situations like I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But let me ask you a couple other questions real quick, because you know, I told you time would go by fast here. I told you that. So I know you have a great support system. You have your mom, your dad, your sisters, your brothers, your husband, and your kids, and your best friends, and us. You know, you have a great support system. What would you say for someone who don't have a support system? What do you think they should do? Where they should go to seek out, you know, some type of support for them going through their treatment process?
Honestly, that's one of the things I was saying about looking into the resources, especially in area resources. Whether it be churches, there's always or churches or local programs. There's always programs somewhere discussing cancer, especially breast cancer right about now. Looking into some of those resources, people have things all over the internet about what they're offering, just waiting for someone to take advantage of something. And you really just want to look into whatever resources are available and try to reconnect with people that you haven't had a relationship with. Build up your base. You need to have someone around you, because this is no joke. Going through this, it was hard with a village. I couldn't imagine going through it alone. So, you know, find a connection, whether it be some people at work, be brave, have some courageous conversations with people, try to see who may be going through something similar, even if it's not similar. Your connections don't have to be someone who's going through the exact same thing. Just maybe someone who can sit with you, talk with you, share with you, help you to your appointments.
Now, let me ask for, like, you know, your mother, your wife, you know, for the mothers that's out there, how did you choose to share your diagnosis with your kids?
That was an interesting one. My husband and I sat, well, not really interesting. My kids are so aware. They know when things are not okay. So we met with the kids, and we have 5 children. So my husband and I sat down and talked to them, and we shared with them. We didn't try to scared them, but at the same time, we were honest. I let them know what I was going through and what they discovered. I let them ask questions. I shared that the doctor said that there is something in me called cancer, that I'm going to have to go through treatment. I'm going to lose my hair. And my youngest daughter was, she actually had seen some TV show. I can't remember the name of it, but it was a show where a little girl is going through cancer and her best friend cuts her hair with her. And she said, "Mommy, do you want me to cut my hair with you when you go through treatment?" It became a beautiful experience. It was emotional, but we just were really honest. But we also considered their ages. It was easier for some of our kids who were almost adults at that time than it was for our younger kids. But you consider your kids, you know your children, but you have to be honest because they have to know what to expect.
What were some of your, as a, you know, a mother and a wife, what were some of your biggest challenges in going through your cancer treatment?
I needed more help, and I hated that. I had to give up some of that power, and actually my husband and I sat down with the kids, and we said, "You guys are going to have to step up." I went through chemo from May to November, and I was sick a lot of the time. I was in pain. I was tired. Then went through radiation. I was tired. They had to step up. It kind of, you know, they became the young teenagers and adults that we knew that they could become. They just had to show what family was about, and that was how we encouraged it. That was the hard thing. But to relent that, to give that up and say, "My power's going, I've got to allow somebody to take care of me." The most
important. Right, which I seen when I was with you a couple weeks ago when I came down to visit. Oh, how you just don't want to give up that power, boy.
I hate it.
Like, sit your butt down, Corey. Didn't your doctor say, "Don't move"? You just
but
told
you
me your
think,
doctor said.
This thing changes your role. It changes the roles of your family. It takes you from being the person that they can depend on to the person who needs to depend on them, and that is not the natural progression, so it's not easy.
Right, right. And I know, like I said, it's like, you don't sit your butt down somewhere.
Hate it.
It's like, you know, like you were saying, your sorrows wanted to bring you dinner and bring you to do food, you know, cook for your family, and you kept telling them no and no and no. And, you know, when I was there that weekend, it was like a finally, yes, somebody bring me some food, you know. So
right.
You kind of like.
I needed the help.
Right.
All
and sometimes you just, like
yeah.
I, and like I told you when I was down there, you just got to accept it right now. It's not something permanent, but, you know, right now you need the help. So when people are offering the help, because you're still going through, you know, your cancer and you done had a couple of surgeries done in the past few weeks also, so you're still going to continue probably to need that help for a little while longer. So like I said, don't do too much, you know, still relax.
I'm trying.
I know it's hard.
It's not natural. That's especially when you're a mother. It's hardest when that's your role. That's how you identify yourself. So when it changes, it's just hard. It's hard.
Right, and I know you do everything for the kids, from taking them, you know, from taking them to football, to dance, to cheer, to, you know, so you're know, and the role that you play in the community, too. So you do a lot in the community. You do a lot for your family, so that right there is totally understandable how, like, now you have to ask for help, or you need to get the kids to step up a little bit more. You know, your mom need to, you know, come and help you out, or, you know, things of that nature, where before it was just automatically you just got up. You would run from 6 a.m. to 10 o'clock at night without no problem.
That's it. All day long. That's what we did.
Right.
That's it.
Right.
That's exactly it.
So I told you this interview was going to go by fast. I appreciate you. I love you to death, and you know that.
I love you, love you, love
you. And you know I will be back down there at the end of February to see you, of course. As you see, I'm coming to see you a little bit more because you always come home to see us. So I'm coming to see you. I've been down there, what, 3 times in the past year? So
I love it.
So I will be back in February to see you. It is my birthday weekend, just to let you know.
Woo-woo.
So Like I said, I love you. I appreciate you. I thank you for coming on the show, the Create Your Own You show, to, you know, tell your experience and give hope to people who feel like they don't have hope right now.
Absolutely.
Again, this is Mrs. Sadil. Oh, you're welcome. This is Mrs. Sadil Tanae Lloyd out of North Carolina. I want to say peace and blessings to everyone. And like I said, continue to create yourself to be the best you can. Live your life to the fullest. I live mine like a rock star. Have a great one. Thanks a lot.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.